sir, you too. Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, but the 11 disciples went into Galilee unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. It is written, and Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. It is written, go ye therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
God is just a prayer away.
Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake, and became as dead men. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah! Christ arose.
For God is just a prayer
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Matthew 28, the three commissions of the resurrection. In this 28th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, there are three commissions, and all three could be called great commissions. The first one is the angelic commission. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, came to see the tomb. There was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord appeared rolled away the stone and sat on it. And the guards, Roman soldiers, quaked and fell down like dead men. This earthquake was the most devastating earthquake that this old world has ever experienced. The great earthquake of San Francisco in 1906 registered about 7.5 on the seismograph and killed 3,000 people. This quake at the tomb of Jesus must have registered at least 10,000 on the devil's seismograph, because that earthquake completely destroyed hell as far as the Christian is concerned. Even though the angels' lightning-like appearance scared the two Marys, the angel assured them that all was well and gave them a commission. This commission told them to go and tell the disciples he had arisen from the dead, and lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Then it says they ran to tell the disciples. Ran is the verb that describes the action the women took in telling the story of the resurrection to the disciples. What verb best describes the action of evangelism today? Is it run? No. Is it trot? No. Is it hop, skip, jump? No. Is it crawl? Many times, yes. That angelic commission is needed today for the members of the church. The church itself needs to hear again the story of the death, burial, resurrection. And the scriptural responds to the gospel, because some are being brainwashed by the false doctrine heard over and over again that salvation is simply obtained by bowing your head and ask Jesus to come into your hearts. The importance of being buried with Christ in baptism, as Paul teaches in Romans 6, is illustrated in an event in the Old Testament, in the story of the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings. Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of Moabites, enemies, invaded the land at the coming in of the year, and those who were burying the man were afraid when they spied this band of men, and they hurriedly cast this corpse into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man fell down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Ladies and gentlemen, if a corpse touching the bones of the prophet Elisha came back to life, how much more is it true when we are buried with Jesus in our immersion into him, shall we be made alive unto God when we were once dead in trespasses and sins? Later on in the chapter, Jesus repeated this commission and said the meeting in Galilee would be appointed. The apostles had an appointment, and they kept that appointment. In the angelic commission, we are reminded that Jesus has also made appointments for us as his disciples. One of the appointments Jesus has made for us is the appointment in the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, as taught in Acts, the 20th chapter and 7th verse. And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. Another appointment that the Lord has made for us as Christians, as well as everyone else, in Acts 17, Paul told the Athenians that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained by the resurrection from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an appointment that everyone will keep. This appointment is underscored again in Hebrews chapter 9. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Then we must not forget a very personal appointment the Lord has made with us as individuals. Paul tells us about it when he tells of his historic meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When we meet the Lord, does he not also appoint a certain work for each of us to do? Are you keeping that appointment? The angelic commission also included the statement that Jesus went before them to Galilee. When they arrived on the scene, he was already there, waiting for them. Jesus always goes before us. He has already gone before us into heaven as the firstborn of them that sleep. And he will be there, waiting for us. He has gone before us in temptation. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. He goes before us in prayer. Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, God knows what things we have need of, even before we ask him. He always goes before us. Remember, the angelic commission is preach the gospel to the disciples. Now the second commission is the satanic or devilish commission. As far as we know, the scripture is silent as to whether the angel who rolled away the stone used a stun gun on the guards or not. But nevertheless, they were stunned. Anyway, when they recovered, there was an awful lot of explaining to do as to what happened to the body of Jesus. So they simply went to the officials and told the story. In a word, they told the authorities, Jesus is not there. He's gone. The resurrection could not be denied. So the devil gave his satanic commission. Since they could not deny the truth, the chief priest said, Stonewall it, boys. Don't tell anybody what really happened. Make up any lie you can think of, but don't tell them Jesus is alive. The guards were a little nervous. They might be held responsible. What then? The chief priest gave them much money. Don't worry about it, boys. We'll take care of you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And that is the satanic commission. Stonewall, the story of the resurrection of Jesus. Don't tell anybody he's alive and take the money. When they wanted to crucify Jesus, they found out the best way was through money. They paid 30 pieces of silver. That was the price they paid for his blood. Now that Jesus is alive, the best way to kill the story of the resurrection was money, 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 money. However, this time they had to up the ante. It took considerably more money. Now it was not just one to be paid off, but all the members of the guard that got in on the deal. They gave them much money. And then when the guards were a little doubtful, the chief priest assured them they had insurance. We will persuade the governor and rid you of care. Now the governor would surely want a bigger price than paid to the guards. In either case, they found out that trying to get rid of the resurrection story was the most expensive thing they would ever do. The harder they tried, the more expensive it got. Instead of paying off one man, they had to pay off Pilate and every member of the Roman guard. Actually, their loss cannot be measured in dollars and cents. If they did not repent, It would cost them a whole lot more. It would cost them their souls. Jesus himself warned about this. What shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So it is written, they took the money. That statement, so they took the money and did as they were taught, has far-reaching consequences even today. An elder of a church one time told me of a preacher being interviewed by the pulpit committee. When asked how he preached the various doctrines, the preacher told this elder, "How do you want it preached?" He was willing to take the money. That reminds me of the story of a teacher many years ago looking for work in a certain school district. He was asked by the authorities how he taught geography. He said, "Well, there are two schools of thought on geography. One view is the world is flat. The other view says the world is round. I myself am prepared to teach it either way. Take the money. The Satanic Commission is all a matter of economics. Take the money. Doctrine is determined by what the people want to hear. Take the money. Don't tell anybody." One time there was a man in our town who was an avowed atheist, and the only time he came to services was during a revival. He would stand outside after services and argue with anybody who would listen, saying, "There is no God." The years passed, and one day he got sick and died. For his funeral, the family called a preacher who had been there about 15 years before my arrival. During the funeral service, the preacher told how this man, many years before, had called him and told him he wanted to be immersed, and he wanted to have it done outside in running water. The two of them went to a creek, and the preacher baptized him. And the preacher told at the funeral how when this man came up out of the water, the preacher said, "This man told him, never tell anybody what happened. And until the day that man died, even his wife did not know that this atheist was a, quote, Christian, unquote. There are many like him in all churches. People who have been baptized into Christ and never tell anybody either. That is the devilish commission. You cannot deny that Jesus arose from the dead, but take the money and don't tell anybody Jesus is alive." And now, ladies and gentlemen, the third commission, according to Matthew, Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark puts it this way. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." But Luke puts it this way. "Thus it is written that the Christ must suffer and rise again from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." This document of the commission of Christ to the apostles to preach the gospel everywhere is the most important document ever given on planet Earth. It is a greater document than the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. It is a greater document than the Emancipation Proclamation. Because this document of the Great Commission can set people free from a tyranny infinitely more cruel than any other system ever devised by man or the devil. And in this Great Commission, if we combine them all together, there are at least 12 items why this is a true statement. And we mention them here with very little comment. Number one, this order was given by the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Paul reminds us that Jesus, being on an equality with God, took upon himself the form of a man, made in likeness as a man, found in fashion as a man, humbled himself even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him a name which is above every name in heaven and on earth, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Number two, the Great Commission is in force until the wind-up of human affairs and the end of the world. The statute of limitations will never run out until the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns. Number three, the acceptance of the terms of this document is demanded by everyone who hears it. Jesus said the world. He also said all nations. And then to make sure we understood, he said, preach it to every creature. Number four, the purpose of salvation of everyone who hears and accepts it, and the damnation of those who reject it. One mass murderer bombed a government building and killed hundreds. Before he was executed, someone asked him if he believed in hell. He said, if there is a hell, I will adjust to it. I wonder how you do that. Number five, faith is demanded in accepting it. Every person who hears about the true historical event of the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ must believe it. Some think today that we need a high-tech gospel for a high-tech age. This high-tech age has produced some high-tech sinners who are headed for a high-tech hell because they have rejected a high-tech Savior who died on a high-tech cross so that we might go to a high-tech heaven. Number six, repentance is required along with faith. Jesus said, repentance must be preached. Repentance may be the hardest step in the plan of salvation. There is one verse of Scripture that everybody knows from memory, even if they have never been inside of a church building or looked inside of the Bible. You hear it on every television show if somebody in the audience comes down hard on some gross sin. The audience is ready to holler at him, judge not. They misuse that verse and make it a barricade and feel safe to hide behind it and say, judge not, and then continue in a life of depravity. Number seven, baptism is also required. Jesus said, baptize them. Forgiveness of sins is given to all who obey. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. An infant cannot believe. Jesus said of infants, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Infants don't need salvation. They are safe. Number nine, Paul gives a definition of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he hath arisen on the third day according to the Scripture. Number 10, the baptism is to be administered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is the only command in the New Testament that is commanded in the name of all three members of the Godhead. We have not been asked to observe the Lord's Supper in the name of all three members of the Godhead, nor have we been advised to pray in all three members of the Godhead. Only baptizing is to be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Number 11. All of these items must be observed. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Notice he said, all things I commanded, not all things you think he commanded. Number 12. This whole program must begin at Jerusalem and not someplace else. Someone wrote and graciously sent a contribution and said, I surely did preach the message faithfully. However, he added, I follow the traditions of Rome, Geneva, and Scotland. I wrote back and thanked him for his gift and fine spirit, and tactfully added, I follow the traditions of the apostles of Jesus Christ at Jerusalem, because that is where it began, on Sunday morning, on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. Jesus is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. God is just a prayer.